head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarmuth, Sarah Bohannon.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And thank you for downloading and joining me on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. Every week, I strive to bring you on this show the most interesting people in the Ville. And this week, boy, this week, I've really done so. I'm very excited about my guests. They're coming up in just a minute. My first guest is believe it or not, the man for a long time known as the Mayor for Life, Jerry Abramson. And I went over to Bellarmine University, where he is now an executive in residence, and just returned from his career stop in Washington, D.C. You're going to be really interested to hear about Jerry's life in D.C. When he comes on the show here in just a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. And after that, in the second show, I have a very delightful guest. Just had a really great time talking with Damaris Phillips, who is a celebrity chef and appears often on the Food Network. And 3-4 years ago, she won a contest and launched her career as a television star related to food. And so she is from Louisville and has a great story and a lot of personality. We talked on the sidewalk at Please and Thank You on Frankfort Avenue. It was a lot of fun. All right, before we get into the show, I want to mention my great sponsors and one that I'm going to talk about a lot in the middle of the show, and that is our friends at Passport Health Plan. They made a big announcement today, and you'll hear all about what's going on with that, and it's a great positive move for the city of Louisville. So thank you to Passport Health Plan for being a sponsor of the Rusty Satellite Show, as well as the Eye Care Institute down here on 1536 Story Avenue in Butchertown. Their number is 502-589-1500. You can call there, and one of the friendly folks will help you make an appointment. It's your one-stop shop for eye care. Whether you have routine vision issues or need significant correction, such as LASIK, Eye Care Institute is the place you want to visit. Give them a call down there. My good friends are doing some good work in the city as well. So we're ready to get on with the show, and I was... kind of thrilled to make the contact with Jerry Abramson. I was able to, I guess on last Friday or last Thursday, when I went over there, the students weren't in school. It was, I think they were off for Easter, and Jerry came in just to talk to me, and he's got a nice setup over there, and really enjoying what he's doing at Bellarmine. He's also enjoying not working 12-hour days anymore. He, as he told me about his time in D.C., he actually was in the West Wing and with President Obama in the interview. You'll hear a story about President Obama and how Jerry's lifestyle was really focused on work. He, his family stayed here in Louisville, and he went off to Washington and spent a lot of time working, which is an amazing thing for a guy that he's had a remarkable career in public service as 21 years as our mayor. And I was really delighted to get the opportunity to talk to him for this show. So here's my interview with Jerry Abramson. I'll be back with some news and some other stuff right after this.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, we're rolling. This is Rusty Satellite Show 198 with Jerry Abramson. And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at Bellarmine University with a new member of the faculty over here, right? Executive in Residence, Jerry Abramson.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much for coming over to Bellarmine on this beautiful, beautiful day.
It really is. It really is. And one of the reasons I want to talk to you, certainly we're thrilled as part of the Breakfast of Champions team to have you speaking to us just after Derby. And at 7:30 in the morning, and just give me an idea, just in general, what you plan to, what topics.
Sure, you know, I gave them the topic from Louisville to the West Wing. Okay. I'm going to hope to lay out the experiences that I've had, you know, having been mayor for 21 years and a lieutenant governor's term, and then 2.5 years as a assistant to the president for state and local government. I've had some interesting experiences, and most people seem to be very interested in how the White House works, a little bit about state government, and a focus on our hometown and how all of that meshes together. So I'm really excited about meeting with the individuals that morning, and look forward to sharing what it's like to be a part of the West Wing, which when I was there had 43 people in it, and that was it.
Wow.
My office was right above the Oval on the second floor, and my entire staff was across the way at the executive office building. So real estate matters at the White House,
it really does.
People do whatever it takes to get into the West Wing, and I was very fortunate that's where my office was located.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's very cool. In fact, I you just shared with me a lot of interesting activity in your old in your office.
At first, Steve Bannon moved into my old office, and then the Washington Post had an article about 10 days ago laying out who was sitting where, and that was right after Ivanka Trump decided to become a federal employee and move into the White House, and she is now sitting in my office, and Bannon has moved down to the to a different location.
Okay. You have a, I mean, you're in there. Do you feel like you had a pretty close relationship with President Obama?
Well, you know, I wasn't a running buddy with him. We didn't go out and shoot hoops together, but at the same time, we had a good relationship. When I was in the Oval, it was always business. He has a great sense of humor, but he's also focused on whatever the issue might be. When I was in the Situation Room and we were interacting with governors from the West Coast dealing with issues like forest fires and drought, he again was very focused and was very engaging. But he had a great sense of humor. And I remember one day after a Christmas break, you know, he would generally leave a couple of days before the holidays, Christmas time, and go to Hawaii for about 10 days, 2 weeks. So my office, I could see the South Lawn. So when Marine One, which was his helicopter, as Marine One would literally land, pick him up, and as it began to rise and go toward Andrews to pick up Air Force One to go to Hawaii, I would run to catch a cab out to National Airport and come home for the time. So about a week after we both returned, I saw him in the Rose Garden. He was coming from the White House, coming into the West Wing. I was going into the White House for some reason from the West Wing. And he said, "How's it going, Jerry?" And I said, "It's going great." I said, "You know, Mr. President," I said, "when you take off, I got to take off." And so when I'm home and I'm sitting on my porch drinking my bourbon, sleeping in my bed with my wife, and he stopped me and he said, "Doesn't get any better than that, does it, Jerry?" And so he has a great sense of humor, but really bright, really focused, and he was a pleasure to work for.
Okay. And all that ended. I mean, have you had any contact with him since?
You know, my wife received a very prestigious award from the American Red Cross a week ago, and we flew back to Washington for the dinner where she received the award. And I got my staff, at least of the 18, there was about six still in Washington together, and I bought them breakfast. And several of them are working with the president at the foundation with my boss, Valerie Jarrett, where they are working on raising money for the library. The president is in the process of writing his book. And he's also working with Eric Holder, the former attorney general, on the issue of all the gerrymandering that has occurred throughout the United States regarding the boundaries of congressional districts and how best to stop that and to create fair and responsible districts that in fact would represent all the people of a state in an appropriate way. And he's got a real initiative going on that issue.
I know that's challenging. I saw the John Oliver piece the other night. It's really complicated and
very much so
issue, I'm sure. Well, certainly, I read that you know, certainly as time dwindled in Washington, you were anxious to return here to Louisville.
Yeah, I really was. You know, my wife and I got together about once every month. Mm-hmm. I left my apartment early in the morning, got up early in the morning. Senior staff met at 7, 7:15 in the morning at the White House. I was about a 12, 15-minute walk from the White House. I didn't have a car. So I'd get up very early in the morning, and then I'd get back. You know, I'd leave the White House about 8 o'clock at night, so there was no reason for Madeline to be living in Washington because she's so active in civic affairs here in Louisville. There was nothing for her to do because I was never in the apartment. But we got an 800-square-foot apartment, 800-square-foot apartment that cost me twice my mortgage. And I, you know, the term burnout comes to mind, because when you're working 7 in the morning till 8 at night, 6 days a week, and if there's an issue that's really important to mayors or governors or Indian tribes was another area that I had responsibility for in my portfolio, you're working on Sundays too. You really get to the point where, you know, all you're doing is working, eating, and sleeping. And, right. You know,
well,
Sunday.
There had to be some perks, I guess.
Well, yeah, there was a perk like I could walk to the Kennedy Center on a Saturday night. And there are three theaters in the Kennedy Center. There are three presidential boxes in the Kennedy Center. And I could always get a ticket, mm-hmm. you know, when I was there by myself to get a single ticket, and I'd sit in to see a ballet or an opera or an orchestra performance or a concert. And so those kinds of things were great. Obviously, working in the West Wing, flying on Air Force One, being with Vice President Biden on Air Force Two, going out to Camp David several times for meetings. I mean, those are seen as perks. But, buddy, you are really working hard, and the intensity inside the White House every day is strong as new rope. And the passion of the people who work there, who would do whatever it took for the president and the country to be successful, was something to marvel at. And I really enjoyed it. But I now understand why, after 2 or 3 years, a lot of people say, I'd like to go home and meet my kids and meet my wife or her husband. A lot of women working in the White House when I was there.
Well, I won't. I don't want to spend a lot of time on politics here, but certainly the change in administration. It must be discouraging to see a lot of things you work for and you put time into being torn apart.
Yeah, I think the two areas that are most discouraging, the first is climate, mm-hmm. The fact that we have an administration that doesn't believe in climate change and what, in fact, is occurring. And we spent, the president spent so much time on that issue and seemed to really tee up the United States as a leader. Alternative power has become a real major part of business in America, solar and wind, etc. The other area was the Trans-Pacific Partnership, where we had really reached an agreement with 11 other countries, the fastest growing countries in terms of middle class consumption in the world. And we would have, had it been signed, dropped, done away with, if you will, 18,000 tariffs, 18,000 taxes, which would have given folks, well, a perfect example is take Ford Motor in Louisville. The Escape is made here and the only place in the world it's made. If an Escape made in Louisville is sold in Australia today, it has a 36% tariff. That's a tax. That means on top of the cost of the car, you got to put 36% sure. more. If, in fact, the RAV4, which is a comparable car to the Escape, is made in Japan by Toyota and is sold in Australia, there is no tariff, no tax. And so the argument was that if we did away with all the taxes, we'd make more cars at Ford Escape plant here in Louisville and sell more as a result, because we Americans can compete if you give us a level playing field. So those two areas, plus I suspect healthcare, are the three areas. The Affordable Care Act is certainly a piece of legislation that has helped an enormous number of people. At the same time, it needs a lot of changes. And we were hopeful that we'd get partners to sit down and say, you know, this worked in the Affordable Care Act, let's enhance this. This didn't work in the Affordable Care Act, let's do away with it. We never could get a partner to do that, and now it looks like they're trying to disable it completely.
Yeah, back to the drawing board.
With 20 million people in play in terms of insurance.
Well, just change the subject a little bit. You're back here at Bellarmine. I thought if I were a student at Bellarmine, I'd want to figure out how I could sign up for your class. So tell me about the teaching experience.
Yeah, I'm teaching courses in civic engagement, leadership, teaching courses in metropolitan communities, and the issues facing their future, like demographics and immigration and housing and transportation and healthcare for the change in our demographics in this country. I'm also counseling students one-on-one, the number of students who have called and said, I want to talk about, do I want to go to law school? Do I want to go out and work a couple of years? Do I want to go for an MBA, a master's in business? And I'm also creating an institute here with the National League of Cities to bring in city council presidents from around the country on an annual basis for a continuing education program, and working with the Council on State Governments to do the same thing with state legislators in our surrounding states, West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, and Tennessee. So there's a lot going on, but I don't get up at 5:45 to get here at 7 in the morning.
That seems like a walk in the park these days.
And I don't leave at 8 o'clock at night to walk home to my apartment.
All right, well, just to get a minute or two left, there's been a lot of talk about you and politics, of course, and other jobs that you might be interested in. I heard your name come up, most often in association with the University of Louisville presidency, and I'm just curious as to, are you still looking at any of those things?
No.
Could you ever run for office again?
No, I'm not going to ever run for office again. I think 21 years as mayor, 4 years as lieutenant governor, and 2.5 years in the White House is I have done my public service. I hope I can inspire others to do that kind of public service. And in terms of the University of Louisville, I heard those rumors all the time also, but no one with authority asked ever contacted me to be a transitional leader for a year or two to get things squared away before they moved on with a search for a full-time president. I think they seem to be doing very well. I know the gentleman in charge right now, the acting president, is an outstanding individual, and I certainly wish them well.
Okay, very good. Well, the Breakfast of Champions is May 9th, 7:30 a.m. at the University Club on campus, beginning of U of L. So really appreciate you coming on the show.
Great. Look forward to being with you.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
And there you have it, Jerry Abramson, mayor for life now and executive in residence at Bellarmine. And interesting to note, he has told me off the air also that he is not interested in running for any other offices. He seems pretty content to live his life in Louisville and not run for office, not be a politico. But I tell you, the current mayor, Greg Fisher, is going to be on this show. He's going to celebrate with me my 200th episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. It's actually going to come out Derby Week. I've got an interview set up with him on next Tuesday, and there is a lot to talk about. He is on he talked about today. He was a speaker at the passport announcement. Let me tell you about that. I'll tell you a little bit about what Mayor Fisher said. But man, what a gathering of high-powered folks. You know, this city has always been troubled, for a long time has been troubled because, there's nothing in the West End. It's called a food desert because there's no good restaurants or grocery stores down there. There aren't good jobs there. And a lot of people that live there don't have transportation. And, it just needed a big boost. And a lot of people thought that the Walmart that would come to 18th and Broadway was going to be the big deal, but that deal fell through last fall, and it was very discouraging. It was a bad time for the city because, in that area, if you haven't been to 18th and Broadway, it was formerly a cigarette plant, the Brown & Williamson cigarette plant. It is leveled on both corners, both of the south side of Broadway on either side of 18th are just leveled. It's just barren land. And so today I went down to this press conference, and Passport Health Plan, a sponsor of the show, I'm proud to say, is going to build an incredible 120,000 square foot building there that's going to be its new corporate headquarters. This is a big deal. 500 employees will be going down there on a daily basis. Mark Carter, the CEO, who's been on this show, says that number could grow to 1,000 in the next 5 years. It's a big deal, and they don't just want to build their headquarters down there and that's it. They want to help develop, help boost other entrepreneurial efforts and other retail businesses and other things related to health and wellness are going to locate there. So by 2020, when they move in, it's anticipated that will be a bustling place of activity. It also announced last week, if you didn't catch that, at the same location on the east corner of 18th and Broadway is going to be a new YMCA that is going to be construction starts this fall. It's $28 million project. What a it's an amazing when you think about what's going to go in there. And I was mentioning Mayor Fisher. He spoke at the press conference and talked about what's going on in Louisville, and you know, we're really riding a wave of momentum as we head into the Derby. $10 billion, I think he said, in capital construction projects going on in this town, everything from the Omni, et cetera, to that. The number of people at this passport announcement was phenomenal. Every elected official. I actually saw Congressman John Yarmuth walking away right before the thing ended, driving his own car. Very, very cool. The representatives of Governor Bevin and Senator McConnell were there, Senator Paul, the Metro Council members, state representatives were there. A lot of people that I know, a lot of people that have been on this show as well were there, because this is a transforming event for Louisville. One of the preachers, there were four preachers on the dais up there. They're all great. I loved hearing each one. And one said it was the miracle on 18th Street. That this is, they really had a lot of praise for Mark Carter, who is the CEO, a friend of mine. I've known him a long time, and he is basically made the decision to make this happen. Passport is spending, in the press release, it says $9 million on the land, and it is going to build this big new headquarters there. Hopefully there'll be some other businesses related to health and wellness that'll pop up in that area. There's a lot of room, a lot of land to be developed. So a big deal for the city and for Passport to move down there. I tell you, I've been to their place in Commerce Crossings, where they're currently headquartered, and it's out there. It's beyond the Snyder on Preston. So it's a tough place to get to, and tough place to you get out there and there's nothing but fast food restaurants. But anyway, not to put that area down, but everybody is very enthusiastic today about this this program. So it's a big deal. Good news. Coming right as we head into Derby season. Thunder is Saturday, and it's going to rain, so say the forecasters. I don't know. I don't trust those guys that do the weather, but it looks pretty. Looks like a pretty strong chance of rain on Thunder. And people are asking me, what happens to Thunder? I have an Airbnb guest right now that is here in part for Thunder. What happens if it rains? Do they still do the fireworks? I can't really tell you. I don't know. My experience in this town, it's never been canceled. Sometimes I remember it being delayed, but Wayne Hettinger, who runs the show there, he's got that big clock, and they go off right on time almost every time I can remember. So anyway, make your plans for Thunder. The They're Off luncheon is Friday, and Seth Davis, a basketball commentator, is featured speaker. They've had some great speakers in the past at the They're Off luncheon. It's really a great event to get you all fired up and in the mood for Derby. Hey, I got another thing that I'm excited about. You may not be, but there's a company in town that is doing bike sharing. And starting in May, there are going to be 305 bicycles available at 28 different stations that you can pick up a bike and ride it wherever you need to go, and you can drop it off at another location. These bikes have GPS or GPS equipped. Can't really steal them. People will go and find you and find the bikes. I don't know. I guess some people will probably get creative and somehow disable the GPS. But anyway, don't want to focus on that. It's a great sign of being a bigger city when you have a bike sharing program. And there's a story about that on LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city, if you want to read up on that. And of course, there's some other big news over at the Eat, Drink, Talk side of things, that part of my life where I produce a website and a weekly podcast with Steve Coombs. The big news is there's a Bourbon and Beyond Festival was announced for this. We sort of knew about a month ago that this was coming, but this week they announced some of the big names that are coming. The musical acts, Stevie Nicks for one, Steve Miller Band, a guy that I saw once in Colorado, Joe Bonamassa, great blues guitarist, is going to be here. It's really, the musical lineup is pretty amazing. There's a lot of celebrity chefs going to be involved in this, and some a lot of bourbon's going to be talked about and done. I'm not sure. One of the things Steve and I were talking about was the participation of distilleries, which is not quite a sure thing yet, but it is going to be a big festival. It's down at Champions Park. If you've ever been to, or better yet, heard the Louder Than Life Festival. It's down there on River Road, and Louder Than Life is the producer of that show is also the producer of the Bourbon and Beyond Festival. So it's the first, and expected to be an annual thing, a big celebration of bourbon, food, and music right down there on the river. So anyway, it's great to see that coming to town. That was a project that the city got behind. They did a whole study, and they said, we need a big bourbon festival. And 4 years ago, they did that, but they couldn't pull it off. But this out-of-town company, Danny Wimmer Productions, is behind it and is doing all the work, and we're all going to benefit. So also on Eat, Drink, Talk, I just want to mention the a couple of good stories Steve had about the Fork and Barrel restaurant. The former Bassa on Frankfort Avenue is now open. There's a new place called Chick and Me that Steve raves about their food over there. So I urge you to go over and check out eatdrinktalk.net. Listen to our podcast this week. I had Pam Stallings on the show. She is the one of the proprietors of Salsaritas, a two-location chain restaurant in Louisville. It's sort of like Qdoba. I went there to eat, and she's delightful, and they're doing a lot of good work in terms of charities and participating in a Make-A-Wish event on April 29th that you'll hear about if you tune in. So a whole lot of stuff going on here in Louisville, KY, on the occasion of my 198th episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm very excited about it, and I'm very excited about my next guest, and that is Chef Damaris Phillips. She is awesome. And a delight to talk to. I tell you, she's got a lot of energy and personality. I was fortunate to be able to get her and talk to her at Please and Thank You on Frankfort Avenue. And in between people asking us for directions and people interrupting us for one reason, and my battery's going down on my machines, we got a couple of interviews done. And the other one, if you really like this one, I did a second interview with her that's going to be on next week's Eat, Drink, Talk podcast. So Damaris is came to my attention because she's participating in a Thursday night Derby Week event called the Culinary Kickoff that's over at the Ali Center. It's going to be a big, big deal, and something you ought to know about in terms of Derby Week. It's a big deal. A lot of some other famous celebrity chefs are going to be there, and some entertainment. It's going to be a big, big night at the Ali Center. So Damaris is going to talk about that with you and me, and I'll be back to close the show after that.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie Light.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. Comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
This is the Rusty Satellite Show at Please and Thank You on Frankfort Avenue. I'm with Damaris Phillips.
We're just hanging out, having some coffee.
I know. Giving people directions.
Yeah.
If they need them.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the service that we perform. All right, but Damaris, welcome to the show. And
thank
I'm so
you.
Happy to have Louisville's own celebrity chef right here on the show.
Well, thank you.
For people that don't know that background, tell me a little bit about how you became a celebrity chef.
So I worked here in Louisville in the food industry and restaurants since I was about 18. I started, my very first restaurant job was Lynn's Paradise Cafe.
Oh, wow.
Which is like everybody's first restaurant job in Louisville. but I fell in love. I fell in love with restaurants. I fell in love with cafes and coffee shops. Hold on. Somebody didn't silence his phone. and so after working in restaurants for a long time, I started teaching at the culinary school, and then I went on a television show called Food Network Star, which is essentially like American Idol for TV, food TV.
And you freaking won.
I did not lose.
How did that happen?
How did that happen? You sound so shocked.
Did you beat the other contestants up? What
I charmed everyone with my southern ways and my 1-2 punch in the kitchen. Yeah, no, it was, it totally, totally surprised me that I won. Like, the very first day I got there, I was like, I'm totally going to lose. I, like, absolutely 100% knew I was going to be going home. But I did
losing in a competition of 12 people. That I mean, that's not really losing. I mean,
no, you're still winning.
You're still winning because you made it on the show. Right?
Yeah, and the people, like, I'm still very good friends with a lot of the contestants, and other people that did not win have gone on to do other television shows. One of my closest friends is a woman named Nikki Dinky, and she was on the show with me, and she's gone on to do a show on Cooking Channel.
Okay. But your prize for winning this competition was
you get one season of a TV show.
Wow.
You've got to prove yourself. So we
and
did.
You did Southern in Heart.
Absolutely. We filmed it right here in Louisville, Kentucky. We showcase like my
Where
favorite
you
Louisville
go
spots.
Into restaurants or
no, no, no. Kitchen? We did it in a kitchen. Not my own kitchen. Bless my little heart. the specs for a TV kitchen are so interesting. It's like a whole nother show that I could tell you about. But you have to have a very large, very specific kitchen.
Okay.
And so the main thing being the stove needs to be in the island so that when you're cooking, you're facing the cameras. So that's the main thing. I just didn't have that. So we found a kitchen with this lovely family called the Zerwankas. And
oh, really?
The kitchen is
so
like,
it was somebody's house.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a real house. We would hang out with our dogs and have a little cocktail after we got done filming. It was like totally Louisville style.
Well, that sounds like so much fun. And now that show, I understand, had a little bit of a romantic aspect to it.
It did, yeah. At first we were teaching men to cook for women, and then we kind of broadened it out and started teaching just everyone to cook for people they love. For me, that's literally the only thing I can do domestically is cook. Like, I'm a messy woman. It's not something I love. I'm not great at laundry. But
is there
I can
dust
cook.
On your countertops right now?
My lady gets rid of all of the dust. I'm really not I'm not a very tidy woman.
Okay.
And so for me, we had to cook cleaning up, or we had to cook growing up, and you either had to cook or you had to clean. And so, of course, me
cooking's
and all my
much
siblings,
better.
Absolutely. So I fell in love with the cooking aspect, and I have just always cooked as like a daily ritual. And then I went to culinary school and.
Wow.
And,
well, yeah. I mean, I guess you're like the only TV star in the cooking world from Louisville, but you really are from Louisville. I mean, you went, we always talk. Where'd you go to high school? Right?
I went to Atherton High School. I love it. Go Rebels! Actually, I was at Atherton this past week and they had a yard sale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the field hockey team. So I went and got some dishes. Was all around my alma mater. Showed my husband where I made out with somebody by a tree. You know.
Well, that's the fun thing about living in your hometown. There's all those places. And then you go out in public and you see somebody you went to high school with, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I really love Louisville. I love that everybody's so respectful. Nobody's really that, like, impressed with what I'm doing because I think everybody's like, oh, she's still working at the coffee shop, which I worked at Highland Coffee for, like, almost a decade. And so a lot of times I'll see people and they're like, I know you from somewhere. And, like, my sister will pipe in and she'll be like, she's on Food Network. And they're like, no, 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 no. Did you work at Highland Coffee?
That's funny. Well, you know, Highland Coffee graduate makes it into the real world in TV.
Yeah.
So TV's fun, and you do a lot of travel with that. You told me you now have a barbecue show for kids.
Yeah, it starts.
And I can't believe kids are cooking.
Oh, my gosh. So May 1st is season 2 airs on Food Network. It's at 8 p.m. It's Kids Barbecue Championship, and what that looks like is 4 kids in each episode compete to win $10,000.
Wow.
Like, every single episode, one kid wins $10,000. That's an unbelievable amount of money
so
in my world.
How do these kids, how do they get creative on the
pit? Oh, my
pit,
gosh.
Or what do they do?
Yeah,
do they put M&Ms in the barbecue sauce or something? I don't know.
They do. There's some delicious gummy bear sauces. I'm lying. No, they're absolutely phenomenal. We didn't go easy on them at all. And we did a really good job hunting for these kids. And so there's kids barbecue competitions all over the country. So we
did
have
not
like
know that.
Oh my gosh, there's always cooking competitions. There's always like a kids level, and you start out 6 and 7 years old, and so by the time you're 12, you've been cooking for 5 years with maybe your parents who are also pit masters. And
so
they,
a 6-year-old is doing barbecue.
Oh yeah, I mean, not on the show. The show starts at 9.
Okay.
But in order to be good enough that you're on a television show by the age of 9 cooking, they have been, like, it is really, really mind-boggling. It is shocking. Everybody should tune in. Every single day, I would be like, oh, I'm glad I'm not cooking it against these kids. I don't know if I'd win.
It sounds like the competition is heavy, but you know a lot about judging. You judge a lot of shows, right?
Yeah, so...
As a TV celebrity,
absolutely.
I guess you get invited to judge.
Yeah, so one of my favorite things has been I started judging on a show called Guy's Grocery Games, which is a grocery store cooking competition. It's one of my favorite. So I judge on that a lot. We do Bakers versus Fakers or Beat Bobby Flay. There's a new show called Dessert Games coming out. It's a ton of getting to experience the best chefs in the country and what they do when you throw them into, like, some kind of crazy situations.
And you get to judge how well they do. So mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right, well, it feels a little bad because I'm always judging, but at the same time,
You're quite judgmental to me.
I'm so judgy. I'm such a judgy person. Really, every day I just want to be like, well, I think this is good. I'd eat it.
that's my thing. I'll tell you a story about that later. But in Louisville, so this is Derby season. We're so happy to be here, right?
Yeah,
and you got a big event coming up.
It's my favorite time of year. It literally feels like... Oh, I like Christmas, too.
It's okay, better than Christmas.
It's like tied for Christmas for me.
Okay.
But it feels like you can already feel the electricity in the air of Derby, right? Like, everybody's ready to not go to work. Everybody's ready to only talk about their hats and, like, what bourbon they're going to be drinking. And so for everybody, there's a ton of events that happen. Being a Louisville girl, I wanted to get involved in something that, A, gave back to the community and gave back to something in the community that I love. So I'm doing an event that the proceeds go to the Muhammad Ali Center, which, I mean, talk about a superstar. Like, he is our superstar.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, this event is at the Ali Center Thursday before Derby.
Absolutely.
Only 120 tickets, right?
Yeah, so it's a
and
different...
And I'm saving up. Because it's like $12.50 a ticket.
Well, it is. You can get the friends and family discount, I'm sure. I'll post those on my social media. So if anybody wants that leak. Yeah, it is. It's but not
it must be special to be.
It absolutely is. It is not a. It's not cheap. But you know absolutely that the money is going to support the Muhammad Ali Center and all the programs that are happening there, which is fantastic. It's also a much different event than you're used to going to. It's only 125 people. It's very intimate. They're bringing in some really wonderful chefs. They're not bringing me in because I actually live here. But we have Bo McMillan, who is, if you've not had Bo's food, you are in for an absolute treat. And then Todd English is also there. So we're doing three-course meal. We have all these beautiful vineyards. We're sponsored by Williams-Sonoma and Esquire magazine. Like, it is a... It feels like a high-end, fancy event, which is hilarious for me to say. I'm like, it's so fancy, y'all. But it really is.
With your accent,
doesn't really sound that fancy. But it just is. It is. If you've gone to events and you've gone to these big events, that's fantastic. This is just a much more personal and much more intimate.
And what are you making?
Event. I am making, little known fact, Muhammad Ali's favorite dessert. Ready for it?
I know that.
Bread pudding.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm making a bread pudding and with little nods to Muhammad Ali's, like, butterfly and bees. So we'll see. I mean, there's not butterfly and bees in it, but, you know, little nods to that just to keep it, to keep it inspired by the man that inspired so many of us.
All right. Well, that's very cool. Now, what are your Derby plans? Let's find out. That is. You're a newlywed, I know.
I am a newlywed. So we go to Derby or Oaks every single year. I'm going to tell you a little truth. I love Thurby at the track, so the Thursday before Derby. I think it's fantastic. But this year, because of the event, I'm going to do Oaks.
Okay.
So we're going to Oaks, and then on Derby Day, I'm part of a group of friends, and we have it's called the Compliment Society. And before Derby, we set up, you'll see us, we are... decked out in our Derby costumery finest, and we give compliments to everybody going into Derby, and then we're going to go play croquet. I can only do the track one day. I can only do it one day.
It's hard. I'm with you on that.
It's
a mess. But Derby, there's such a difference in the type of experience you have based on where your ticket is, right?
Yeah. So I have some friends coming in.
How much money you got?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think the very, very best tickets to get are a box at like 112. Okay. Like that for me is the best. It's terrible if it's raining, but if it's not raining, that's exactly where you want to be. And the higher you go up, like, yeah, it's a little bit fancier and like you're probably, you have like catered food, but you're not outside. You don't have the breeze. You're not right on the rail. It's not, it also feels like super ruckus down in like the 100, 111.
Good old hot dogs, right?
Yeah, we bring in Bucks lunches, sandwiches. Come on. You think I'm going to get a hot dog? I mean, I absolutely do after a couple of bourbons. Like, a couple of mint juleps in me, I'm like, I'm getting a hot dog, y'all. But we always started out fancy with the little box lunches.
All right. Well, that's very cool. Well, we got to wrap it up here for the Rusty Show. And remember that your event is Thursday.
Absolutely.
Derby week.
Thursday before Derby.
At the Ollie Center.
Yeah, you can go online. The website is
culinarykickoff.com.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. You are really good at this. Thank you.
There you go. All right, Damaris, it's been a delight, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, I want to thank both my guests, Jerry Abramson and Damaris Phillips, for being on the show this week. They are two of the most interesting people in the Ville, for sure, as we head into Derby week, Derby Festival time, and I hope you have your Thunder plans all set. I think I've done Thunder in every way you can imagine, from signing office building downtown to over on. Yeah, I did watch it one year on the Indiana side. And anyway, it's something to experience, and hope you get out there and enjoy that in the rain. So it was big. Big thank you to my sponsors. This show wouldn't be possible without them, and it's my friends at Passport Health Plan. Congratulations on their big move to the West End, coming up in a couple of years, announced this week. And also to my good friends at Eye Care Institute down here on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. Also want to mention my dentist, Dr. Sean Moore, and Moore Smiles is a big supporter of this show. His office is over on Taylorsville Road at Stony Brook. Great, great dentist. If you're in the market for a new dentist, he's the man. He's the man to talk to. All right, that's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show. As I mentioned, I'm making big plans for show number 200, and that is going to be with Mayor Greg Fisher. That's in 2 weeks, and then I'll have some. I think I'm going to have some Derby-related guests, or I might try to get Mark Carter on here from Passport for next week. And I didn't mention earlier, Jerry Abramson is going to speak to our Breakfast of Champions group on the Tuesday after Derby. And you can go to that and see him and talk about what you heard on this show or whatever you want to do. Jerry's going to be speaking about his experience in the West Wing to the Breakfast of Champions. And that's a $20 cash. $20 cash for a buffet breakfast, a hot buffet breakfast. It's great over there at the University Club. You can find it on Facebook and RSVP. I would love for you to do that. In the meantime, enjoy your life in Louisville like I am. There's a lot going on, a lot of things to do. And check us out at LouisvilleKY.com, eDrinkTalk.net, or RustySatelliteShow.com. And I'll be back next week with more of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Rick E. Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.